Hi, everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We are glad, so glad that you are with us live tonight. If you're joining us live or if you're joining us on our recorded session, we just love that, you know, we have constant followers who join us on our YouTube channel as well as download our podcast. And so welcome. This is a broadcast put on by Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit, and our goal is to empower families to homeschool unique learners. And so we want to make that that possible for you. If you have a struggling learner, and there's just a lot of things that go with that. And so we're just here to encourage you. And this month we are focusing on the topic, finishing well. And this is the final broadcast we have on that subject. And my guests today are Beth and Greg Langston. For the last 20 years, both Beth and Greg have empowered students to master their self-discovery, which our topic today is nurturing self-discovery in teens. So how fitting is that? Allowing them to successfully activate their life's purpose. Beth, who graduated from Purdue University in education, has guided hundreds of high school students worldwide to navigate the dreaded college application essay process with tremendous success. And Greg also graduated from Purdue's Krannert School of Business, and Greg pursued an international business career, which allowed him to mentor hundreds of young professionals while leading businesses to over 1 billion and working in 65 countries. By the time their kids were 13, they had been to 12 schools and lived in 5 countries. So, wow, that's amazing. I'm just so glad to welcome both Beth and Greg to Empowering Homeschool Conversations, and I know you're just going to be blessed with what they have to share. And we just want you to be part of this conversation too. So make sure that you comment in the feed if you're watching, like I said, on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Periscope. We're broadcasting live in all three of those places, and we definitely want to make your questions, comments as part of our conversation, because that's why we do this live. So welcome, Greg and Beth. I'm just so glad to have you with us tonight.
Well, thanks, Peggy. We're glad to be here.
It's our pleasure.
Good. Yeah, this is awesome. We've been talking about self-advocacy this month, about volunteering and internships and work study programs. But before we even get to those things, I know like some of those things are discovery things, but there's so much that we can do ahead of time with our teen to figure out just who am I? And really, is that really what self-discovery is? And how does that translate to a teen who's hoping to transition out of high school into a job or college? And, you know, how does that all fit together with, you know, this word self-discovery?
Well, Beth and I believe that every young person has a story, and our job is to unlock that story. And it's not their parents' story, it's not their teacher's story, but it's their story. And so in order to do that, they need to go through some steps of self-discovery that I didn't learn until I was an executive running thousands of people, and the companies were investing tremendous amounts of money into me so that I could figure out my strengths, my weaknesses, my values, and how I could inspire and lead other people. And so we felt that there was a need for this to be taught to young people because it's not being taught in the schools. And so that's why it's extremely important that regardless of the program that your listeners are going to use, that they should encourage their young people to go through a self-discovery process.
Yeah, that's a really good point that, you know, I just remember growing up, you know, people like suggesting this is what you'd be good at, this, but not with much, you know, back thought to that or this a process involved in that. It was almost like, let's guess and let's try. And it sounds like what you're saying is that that's kind of how it still goes about, you know, the process.
Right. We started these 20 years ago at workshops. Our kids were our guinea pigs and then their friends and then students in the area. But now, because of COVID, we've been able to put it online and hopefully get it out to more people. We're talking to the schools in the area here in San Diego where we live and just trying to, you know, get the word out. And a lot of people don't even know that this exists. you know. Mm-hmm. And but all the educators that we talked to are so excited about it. They said it really fits their social emotional learning bill that they need to fill right now.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And that there is such a lack in that. And the funny thing is, you know, we teach that to the special ed students, but we need to be teaching it to all the students and not just the special ed, the social emotional part. And then the self-discovery part, you know, it sometimes gets tacked on to that social emotional learning, but it doesn't always go in there. Sometimes we're just working on social skills and we're working on, you know, anxiety management and all these other things, which are kind of the products of not really knowing who you are.
Exactly. And to make things worse is with COVID, I think there's a predisposition to think, well, I'll just give them one assessment and on a given day, they take a strengths and skills assessment, then, oh, you know, Greg should be an engineer. So Greg goes on the path and his parents think that Greg should be an engineer when really there wasn't enough self-discovery that was done. And so I think that as a result, lots of young people go on a path that may not be right for them. And that's what we're aiming to fix.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that with, you know, going down the wrong path? And I know you shared some percentages with me ahead of time that were just staggering as to, you know, what the average is when students don't know who they are, where everything goes awry and how much it goes awry.
Well, you know, the simple facts are that only 40% of college graduates graduate in 4 years. And 60% of these graduates graduate in 6 years. And the reason is because they're changing majors three times, at least three times. And that's because they haven't received that self-discovery training. And so they say, well, I'll figure it out when I'm in college. But the only problem is that if your college costs, all-in costs $40,000 or up to $80,000, and it takes you a year, and it takes you 2 years to figure that out, that's $80,000 to $160,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why student debt is $1.7 trillion. And then add to that the fact that 87% of people 16 to 29 have no purpose or meaning, which is just really a staggering number that really, while on the one hand it's very sobering, on the other hand it's really encouraging for us because we're providing a tool and we encourage, you know, don't just use our program, but we encourage parents to help their students do the self-discovery because it's not being done in school. Maybe some homeschoolers are getting it because they have very involved parents, but in high schools today, the average number of students per college admissions advisor is 424 students per advisor. And they could be absolutely fabulous at what they do. But how can they personally impact, you know, each one of those 424 students?
Right. And, you know, you brought up a really good point about, you know, them taking a test in one little segmented time and it not really showing the full picture. And that compounds when you're trying to work with that many students and you maybe only see them once, a semester?
Right.
And then you look at this one test and it's like, oh yeah, this is what you're made for. And it's such a small snapshot. So, you know, as you work with students, there has to be like a timeline or, you know, going back even to when they're extremely young and figuring out that self-discovery. What time period do you suggest parents start, you know, really helping their students to figure out who they are in that self-discovery process?
Oh, gosh. Well, there are many things you can do for the littles, as we call them, you know, to get to know that. And I'd say the earlier, the better. But unfortunately, I think, you know, there's a great void there. So we started this in the high school years because we want to catch them there. The parents, when they hear about what we've done with the children, they're like, well, could you teach this to adults too? So we thought this is a good sweet spot to get them while they're still interested. And it's great to watch the transformation that they go through. But I'm sure their early age skills and events that they could take part in to gain their self-discovery and that introspection and just knowing who they are and feeling great about it, you know?
I think, you know, you can start as early as middle school in the areas of growth mindset, in the areas of setting goals that are SMART goals, specific, measurable, you know, and it's you know, relevant and timely and achievable. That's the A that I missed. I think you can start that in the middle school years, but when you're really doing the heavy lifting of the self-discovery that we do, we recommend some kids can do it when they're freshmen, but we think the sweet spot is in their sophomore and early junior year when they should do it, because by the time they're seniors, their hair's on fire and they're doing too many things.
Right.
And it's not too late, but it really puts a big challenge on them. And one of the things that happens when you go through self-discovery at an earlier time, you can, instead of adding something additional to your plate, you have the wisdom to be able to deselect from doing certain things, to say, based upon my goals and my objectives, I want to deselect doing my second and third sport. I want to deselect doing AP XYZ because I'm not going to need it. I would rather focus on math if I want to be in physics or in chemistry or something like that.
That's a really good point because, yes, it's sometimes about just loading them up with so much stuff and not not really honing in on what they want to do
and can do.
Yes, exactly. And I know it's when you get to that point, if you are in that later, you know, think about a gap year with your students and you making time for this, versus just like Greg was saying, you know, the statistics with college, a gap year can save you $40,000 to $80,000.
So true.
It's really not a waste of a year.
Well, and add to that the fact that some young men and women they feel imposed to go into college right away, mm-hmm. and they go, they hate it, they don't know what they're supposed to do, and then they drop out. Mm-hmm. The horrible story is that they now are saddled with this debt. They can't get a job that effectively pays back the debt and mm-hmm. gives them a standard of living that's, you know, that's what they want. And so it creates a vicious circle. So really, it's extremely important that they do the self-discovery early on. And what we believe that's most important is you start with your personal core values or core beliefs. Mm-hmm. And that's something that our program always starts with.
That's awesome. So I've got a question from a viewer. Are you guys ready to answer that? Okay. So Paulita says, I thought my son wanted engineering because of his passion to build characters and robots. I invited him to some introductory engineering, but the truth is what he likes about building is the ideation, the design, the visuals, colors, and balance, and even that I might have gotten wrong, but I want to invite him to other resources of design, I think. And then she added something else. Not sure I can help my kid with goal setting. I'm not good at that. Okay. So
most of us are not.
So first of all, I mean, you know, just asking, you know, I'm observing this and we tried some things out and now I'm finding out some other information, and then about the goal setting and parents. So how would you answer that?
Well, one good thing we recommend is getting hands-on experience at the thing you think you want to do. Our son is a great example of this. Mm-hmm. His whole life he thought he wanted to be in the medical field, just so interested, and as he got older he said, I think I want to be a surgeon. And so during the one summer in high school, he interned with a cardiovascular surgeon and a neurosurgeon. And by the end of his summer, he's like, this is not at all what I want to do. And it's so great that he found that out before going all the way through med school and then specialty. So getting hands-on during the summers or whenever you can, during breaks, you know, use your connections to say, hey, can I just tag along with you in your job? That really helps narrow it down.
I would also tell your listener that, you know, learning and deciding what's important for you is not a linear process. Just like we call going into college the college flight plan, because, you know, when you're flying from San Diego, where we live, to Florida, where you are, The airplane's, you know, off a straight line. It's, you know, it's not going in a direct line for about 98% of the time. It's constantly making course corrections. And so your son or daughter who is trying to determine what they want to do can make those course corrections. And the key is to do it earlier rather than later.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, I just applaud you, Paulita. You actually thought, okay, this is something, and then you found something else, so now you can dive into all those areas and do those course corrections like Greg was talking about. And yes, that's so true. And you know, course corrections around storms or anything else, and I mean, that's what comes up in our own lives. And that's a really good point, because I think we get frustrated with ourselves when things aren't exactly the way we expected them to be, and instead to use it as a learning experience and to move on through that. So what about goal setting and parents who say, I'm not good at goal setting. How can I then help my student with that process? Do you have any tips or hints on that side?
Sure, absolutely. What we do in order to make it, we're all about simple. And, you know, this is where the beautiful combination, well, my wife is beautiful. I can say that for those of you that are listening. But the beautiful combination that we have is that I'm the visionary thinker from a business perspective, and she's the educator that says, that's all well and good, Greg. That looks really great on a whiteboard. But we're trying to teach a young student how to capture this pretty heavy concept, like setting goals and setting your purpose and your values. Yeah. How do we share that in increments that are no longer than 2 to 3 minutes?
Yeah.
And the beauty is that we've been able to do that. And it takes the strengths of both of our, you know, our skill sets. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we basically break down goals into 4 different, what we call success elements. They are health, wealth, wisdom, and relationships. And so when you are in the school years, your major job is not wealth. Your major job is academic accomplishment. And so for the 5 years in high school and through college, for as long as you go through college, your wealth success element is, and goals are measured in those terms. They subsequently will turn into your wealth goals. And so what we do is we take them through a process that helps them to determine what are their health, wealth, wisdom, and relationship goals in all aspects of their life.
That's great. Yeah, that makes it so much simpler, because I think parents could even apply that to writing their students' IEPs. You know, because we do that for homeschoolers. We have our own template and we have parents use, and they're often like, well, what do I write? And so I love those categories, because those are things we all need to work on. And you're right. When they're a student, they're working on those academic pursuits, because that will lead them to their, how they're going to have a job and, be productive in society.
So, and let me give you an example. On the health side, it can be, I'm trying to run a mile in under a certain period of time, or I'm trying to make sure that I get 8 hours sleep, which is something that most teenagers don't do. Or I'm trying to make sure that I eat this way. Okay. And so those are very specific goals they set up for themselves. Mm-hmm. If we choose to do it, just to show you how it works across the gamut from a relationship perspective, what is my relationship with my teachers? What is my relationship with my family? Mm-hmm. What is my relationship with my faith? And what am I doing in regards to each one of those? And what should I start, stop, and continue doing to make best use of those? Mm-hmm. And so we take the student through a very sequential process that meets them where they are, because so many people say, how can you get a 15-year-old to figure this stuff out? Well, the fact is, you need to come alongside them, break it down into small little pieces, understand, and more importantly, convince them that they have a story that's unique, that God has made them who they are and how they are, and help them to be able to write the rest of the story. That sounds kind of, you know, what am I trying to say?
You want them to be alive.
I'm not trying to make that, you know, you're trying to just really be real. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, each one of them has a story, and we want them to live it.
Yeah, That's beautiful. And for to give them that ownership, it's because so many parents will just step in and say, well, this is what you should be, and you know, and kind of overstep that boundary. But to challenge them at those places with those goals and ask them those questions, I think that's a good way to start in mm-hmm. them trying to figure out, because often they don't know to ask themselves those questions. And so I can see how that is extremely helpful. Just, you know.
Another thing that is helpful is that we also give the student the ability to take a 360 assessment mm-hmm. where they pick up to 8 trusted advisors. Those are typically their parents, grandparents in some cases, mm-hmm. teachers, tutors, if they're a coach or what have you. Mm-hmm. And they pick an accountability partner who will help them through the process. Mm-hmm. And they then get direct feedback from these 8 trusted advisors to say, these are your strengths. I'm confirming these are the things that you do really well. Mm-hmm. These are some things that you really don't do that well.
And it's all confidential feedback.
Correct.
Yeah.
These are the things that you do to add value to other people that you may or may not be aware of. Mm-hmm. And these are each person gives 3 recommendations for either a job or vocation or a major. So that the student comes back with 200 data points of information from people that really care about them to say, look, I really do this well. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm a procrastinator. Everybody tells me I'm a procrastinator. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to admit it, but I am a procrastinator. So what am I going to do to fix that?
Right. Yeah. That's very valuable information. And, you know, most of us as adults haven't gotten that kind of critique, and it would be extremely helpful. But you said, like you said, it's very revealing and yeah. You have to be willing to take the good with the bad and know that, you know, everybody has their ups and their downs. So, yeah. So I've got another question from our same viewer. Well, dive into that. She said, my son is just now understanding he gets to make decisions. First year homeschooling, and it's new to him, so he still wants me to tell him what to do. He's 13. That is typical coming out of a school situation. You know, it's just like, these are the classes you take. And so she asked, how can I help him take more ownership?
Well, we work on setting priorities with our kids because they do get a lot on their plates, right? And so if they can learn how to set priorities well and put their tasks into urgent and important boxes, explain it.
Sure. You know, there are 2 types of priorities, as Beth mentioned, urgent and important. And the thing that you want to do is have a student, is it Paulina that you said is her name?
Paulita.
Oh, Paulita. You know, your young student who's 13 may have a list of all the different activities that he needs to do. What you can encourage him to do is say, I'm going to break all these tasks after I write them down on a piece of paper, break them down into 1 of 4 categories. What do I need to do first? So these are the most important and urgent items that need to be completed today or tomorrow at the latest. Hmm. Number 2 would be those things that he needs to schedule. Those are important, but they're not urgent. And typically things aren't always urgent and important, mm-hmm. but they should be scheduled for a specific time. Number 3 is to delegate or get help. And he may be saying, well, I'm a 13-year-old. You know, how can I delegate to anybody? If somebody asks them, hey, listen, can you help my friend out for this? You could possibly say, hey, I have another friend who's better at this. And basically, in essence, diplomatically delegate the other mm-hmm. person to do it. So that's urgent but not important, and get somebody else to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And then the 4th thing is, and this is something that too few young people do, is don't do it. It's neither important nor urgent. And so you don't need to do it at all. So once a student understands those concepts, they go through the list and put a 1, 2, 3, or 4 next to each one of the tasks. And he or she then has their sequence of priorities.
And they feel a little bit more control over their yes and no, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm not going to do, and gives them a little more independence.
But that's really normal for a young student who's been taught, listen, do this, get up at this time in the morning, go to this class, go to this class. Mm-hmm. And for you now to say, okay, now you're free, go do what you want to do. Our responsibility as parents is to provide the guide rails. Mm-hmm. They can play within the guide rails or within the hash marks of the football field or soccer field, as long as they feel the freedom to work within those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then we can step in and help them when they stray.
But allow them to make mistakes too, right? That's so important.
Yes. All their under tutelage.
Mm-hmm. Allow them to make those mistakes and feel.
Yeah. Well, as you two were talking about that, you know, relating that to homeschooling, Paulita, I just want to, you know, encourage you to write down your son's assignments for the whole week and then follow the advice that Greg just gave you about allowing your son to prioritize the tasks. And if he wants to do all of his math on one day, you know, as long as everything's done by the end of the week that he needs to get done, and he handles that in whatever manner he wants, you know, and sometimes there will be consequences because I've had children not do stuff and I've gotten to the end of the week and it wasn't done. But again, that's another learning lesson to, but they learn to take ownership because there's consequences for not doing the work as well.
So, and one of the main struggles that kids have when they get to college is time management. Mm-hmm. So it's good to learn that early, give them the tools to learn that at a young age.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Paulita said, I thank you. That should be a good start. Well, you're so very welcome.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Awesome. So how do, you know, we've been talking a little bit about goals, but how do personal goals and values fall within that self-discovery process?
Well, this is basically what I'm most passionate about, and that is that young men and women should determine what their core values are. And if your listeners can envision a large oak tree, very mature oak tree, and it's a cutaway with a root system that goes deep into the ground to hold the tree up. If you envision those roots as the values or core beliefs of your student or, you know, your son or daughter, right, and those core values and clarity on those are extremely important. Mm-hmm. And those values or core beliefs then hold up the trunk of the tree, which is your purpose or your why. Mm-hmm. And then the branches are manifested as your goals and objectives, your fruits. And so if a family or a student understands that it all starts with your values to determine what's important to you, mm-hmm, so that when you're not with your parents, as Paulita is saying, you know, her son is saying, hey, what, tell me what to do, tell me what to think. Mm-hmm. In many cases, young people have their parents and their family's value system, but there's going to come a time when they need to identify their own value system. And we take them through a process with a card sorting process, mm-hmm, that presents them with 60 different values. Mm-hmm. And they can work on their phone or their iPad or their computer and say, these are our must-have values and why. These are like to have, and these are, you know, neutral. And what they do is they go through a sorting process to the point where they get down to their three core values, and then we have them place them in order so that they then can go through an additional gating process to say, why are these core values important to me? What's important to me? Who or what is positively and negatively impacting my relationship with this value? And what should I stop, start, and continue doing to fix it? Mm-hmm. And so then what this allows, and parents love this, mm-hmm, is the fact that when the parents are not with their young student and they're by themselves in the world with the challenges that no doubt come, mm-hmm, the tree has a much greater sense of resistance to the storm, right, because it's not going to topple over, mm-hmm, because the students are making their decisions based upon their values. Mm-hmm. And we take them through a process to say your first value, second value, and third value. If it passes all three of those values, proceed. If it doesn't, don't.
That's great.
Extremely important to help them.
Right. Those are some good checkpoints. And, you know, I heard a statistic or teenagers who are, well, I guess kids that are teens right now, that they will switch careers 7 times in their lifetime. And the value of having those, you know, understanding what your values are, what your beliefs are, and getting that at such a young age and having somebody walk you through that process. I mean, so when you do have those decisions you have to make, you, you have that checklist, just like you said, and that can make it so much easier because there's so many options that students are faced with and as they become young adults, and they will need to make those transitions. And I can see how that would make that a lot easier in the process of being
absolutely. You know, one metric that really does explain that is that only 27% of college graduates are working in a role closely related to their undergrad degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that manifests itself in that over 70% of the people in the United States that are working in jobs don't like their jobs.
Yeah. 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 And then what do? You almost feel stuck. Not that you are stuck, but you get start building up expenses and all those things that we do as adults in life and, you know, have kids and then we just don't feel like we have the ability to transition. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We want our kids to feel like they know who they are and can make those moves wisely. And I think that's what you're talking a lot about is that wisdom that they need to have to know who they are and what they do best.
Mm-hmm. And the self-discovery, compounds on itself and builds on itself, because if you know your values, you now have 200 data points of strengths and weaknesses. You then take a Colby assessment, which tests your cognitive problem-solving skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't tell you how intelligent you are or how you relate to other people, like at Myers-Briggs. It's basically how you instinctively solve problems. Mm-hmm. You then take all that information that you've collected so far, mm-hmm. and you put together what we call your DNA statement, your distinct natural ability statement,
mm-hmm.
because young people today are not sure what they do because they measure themselves versus their social media feed if they have a phone, and everybody has a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And what this allows a student to do, and we work them through the process where they write a paragraph about themselves that says, this is my wheelhouse. These are my distinct natural abilities. This is what I do really, really well from all the feedback and my analysis and the self-discovery. And so then they can volunteer, whether it be at school, at work, or any activity, to say, I know when I volunteer for an activity and I volunteer doing these things, I'm going to be successful. And that gives them a sense of confidence that really helps them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's extremely important.
Plus, it lessens their stress if they're doing items and volunteering for things that they know they'll be really good at and not stressing themselves to try to do it when it's not in their wheelhouse.
Right.
And on with this self-discovery, then the student can say, okay, so now what is my purpose? What is my why?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Simon Sinek coined the phrase, you know, finding your why.
Yeah.
Very good book. Mm-hmm. The fact is, what is the high school student? He's a junior, a senior, a freshman, a sophomore. You know, what does he do to succeed? Well, he studies, gets good grades or doesn't, and tests well. Now, why does he do or she do what they do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that we help them address. We help them figure out their why.
Yeah, because, yeah, as you were saying that, I'm thinking most students would tell you what their why is that their parents tell them they have to do school, you know, or that the state requires it, you know, and then they lose that when they graduate. And all of a sudden, if they don't know that, that becomes a huge void as to, well, who's directing me now? I'm now supposed to automatically just take this over and they just don't know how to do it.
It's so true. And most students, I mean, everybody needs to know where they belong and how they can make a difference. And that's what we try to bring out in our students.
Mm. Yeah.
And there are some cases that is, you know, not surprising, where families come from a tradition, a long line of doctors or engineers or lawyers. And there's a predisposition that you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer because your mom was, your daughter, your sister was, you know, your wife is, your grandfather was, you need to be a lawyer. And, you know, frankly, you know, Dylan would not be a good lawyer or a dentist or a doctor. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have any leverage to be able to explain, but Dad, I would not be a good, you know, in this case, a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the father's saying, you need to be a doctor. Everybody's been a doctor. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm exaggerating slightly. But with these findings,
some families.
with this self-discovery, the student then can come back to their parents, and this is part and parcel to our program, where they present at the end of the program, listen, mom and dad, you sent me to this program. Well, before we get to that, typically when you send your son or daughter to school and they come home, you say, how was school? And they go, grunt. Or no answer, or it was great.
Right.
And then you send them to a program, and how was that program? What was it like? It was fine.
Yeah.
And you don't get any feedback.
Right.
With our program, what the student needs to do at the end of going through this 12-hour process is they need to present to their parents and their accountability partner the following information. Mom and dad, these are my values, and this is why they're important. Mm-hmm. These are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. These are my distinct natural abilities and how I do things really special. I'm really special in this area. This is my purpose that I want to dedicate the rest of my career in. Mm. These are my aspirational goals in the areas of health, wealth, wisdom, and relationship. These are my 5-year and 1-year goals that support those things. Mm. These are habits that I've identified based upon that information that I'm going to eliminate, which is typically social media and get more sleep.
Yeah.
These are the direct actions I'm going to do. Armed with that, these are the 3 core majors I'm going to select, or this is the primary profession I'm going to be a welder, or I'm going to be a pipe fitter. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to college. And what they then do is they say, this is my elevator speech that I will recite to you in memory of what makes me unique, what makes me special, that they can use for advisors or at school when somebody says, you know, Dylan, tell us who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Instead of jumping under the desk.
Yeah,
you're right. They're able to say that.
Or interview process.
Yes. And then they can incorporate, and this is how I'm going to incorporate it into my application essays that shows how I'm unique and how I will stand out. Mm-hmm. And that's what all students present to their parents.
And it's an amazing transformation that we see. It's so fun to be in those meetings. Yeah, because the parents are like so excited, and some of them are in tears because they are realizing things about their child that they didn't even know, you know, and to see their child transformed into having clarity about knowing their values and their strengths and their weaknesses and their purpose and their major, and then having that confidence to clearly articulate it. You know, they understand who they are. They can articulate it and put it in an interview form or an essay form. Mm-hmm. And the sense of a little bit more control that they have over their lives because they have actionable plans and goals. It's amazing. We love that part of it.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. It's because, I'm thinking of my own kids. Yeah, I just took my daughter to her first interview, and we were rehearsing in the car last week when she was going to it. I'm like, how are you going to answer this question? And she's like, oh, I never thought about that before. I was like, so you've got some time to think because we're in the car. It's a 1/2 hour drive.
There you go.
So, not too much planning ahead on that one. But we've talked a little bit about, internships and as a good way for a student to kind of, help with that discovery period process. Is there other things that parents can do, like experiential wise? With their children that will kind of help them kind of figure out, I like this, I don't like this. So when they get to a point where they're doing a program like yours or doing some assessments, that they better know how to answer those questions.
Gosh. Yeah. Well, any opportunity. I just think, as parents, we get so busy these days, and even the simple opportunities of, everybody drop their phone here. Let's have conversation around the dinner table. Bringing out those things, asking those smart questions. There are books on questions to ask your kids, and it's fun to go through some of them. They give their answers every year as they grow. So you can go back and see what was different, how you've changed. You will progress. You will change. Mm-hmm. And nothing set in stone, but giving them as many opportunities to experience what they think they like, and not just in sports or music or things like that, in other parts of the world too.
And I would say that even if a student knows, let's say that they want to go to college, but they're not sure which one, And they're in a city. I think just about every city has either a community college or a larger college. Reach out to the school when they're a freshman and sophomore and go on a tour and go visit the school to get a feel for what they like, what programs they may have, labs, they may have certain things that they find interesting, and do that earlier rather than later, because you don't have to wait till you're, you know, a senior to go do this really activity and visit. You can do it earlier.
Right.
And also the other thing too is, you know, it's very expensive to go to college. You know, you can start as a freshman and a sophomore to start finding scholarships that will help defray the cost of going to college.
And so many scholarships go unawarded because nobody knows they're there. And there are companies that specialize in just that, finding it.
You might want to also speak to the testing process of practicing testing also earlier, SAT and ACT.
Yeah.
Because that's really, you know, you used to tutor that.
Yes, I used to teach ACT, SAT. It's great, and I loved it. But to me, these are strategies. It doesn't, I don't think it really tests how smart you are as a, or intelligent you are, but it does test how well you know how to take their test. And so test prep places will prepare students on how to manage their time, which is key in those. And then help with essays. When I finally get to the essays, I had a great gal in Minnesota who was so qualified to get into every top school, that she had done entrepreneurial work, and but she didn't want any help with her essays. So when she got to me, because I do the essay editing, she was getting rejected by all these great schools, and she couldn't understand why. And I said, well, could I just see the essay that you actually did submit? Because when you get on a wait list for a college, you have to write then another essay saying, what have you been doing since you first applied to us? And so we were getting ready for those, to write those essays. But she showed me her essay she submitted, and in the first paragraph, there was an error, a grammatical error. So you have to have people, you have to let people look over those essays just to catch things that we think we're going to catch it. But you need more eyes on it. Not necessarily to give the ideas, to pull out ideas, yes, but don't let people change their mind about what they're writing.
Yeah, because the parents can't write the essays.
I've gotten some of those.
It shocked me what my son wrote about. He wrote about a day on our farm when we lived in Minnesota, and getting up and cold and his feet hitting the floor at 50 degrees and going downstairs to go out and do his chores, and how he found a dead lamb that morning. And I just bawled. I was like, okay, that's a good one.
Right, exactly. And it was memorable, and they remembered him, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, all these years of study and all this testing, and it comes down to getting noticed by the admissions officers. And they only on average spend 8 to 12 minutes per applicant.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And so therefore they have to be able to write compellingly and be able to stand out. And so that's why, another reason why students need to go through their self-discovery to be able to share what makes them unique so people notice, because they could have perfect scores, but if they're not able to communicate it, no one will notice.
Yeah. And I think that translates to a job as well. You know, for a student that knows who they are, and an employer could probably put them in a situation where they're just not fitted for them to be able to advocate for themselves to their boss and say, you know what, this is what I do best at. This is this is how I will work best for you. You've put me in a position that really doesn't use my strengths, and I'm not going to excel. For them to be able to have that knowledge and self-advocate, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, to be able in those work situations too,
so true,
to be able to do that.
And in corporate America, we've seen a lot of promotion to failure. Because they promote maybe salespeople to management when managing isn't their forte at all.
Yeah.
And so you have to know when to be able to say, no, I don't think I'll take that promotion. And that's okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of laugh that my dad was a manager and he actually got his MBA, and he has such a difficult time with people. He made it work, but boy, that tested him.
Oh, gosh.
So, wow. So yeah. So we have another question from a viewer. She asks, I sometimes worry that my son will not find the thing that will convert to a career occupation or way to sustain himself. Is that a valid fear? I just love for you to address that.
Definitely. I mean, every parent, I think, that we've dealt with fears that too. And until the student or their son or daughter gets some experience in these different areas, experience is key. We spend too much time in school and sometimes in our sports. Yeah. And we're not getting those experiences in other world areas that are so important to becoming a mature kid, you know? Yeah. So definitely not alone. Give them every opportunity that you can. Let them seek out different opportunities. Sometimes they have to be creative, you know?
Right.
Go ask somebody that you wouldn't think you would ask. Could I tag along with you and see what you do all day, right?
Right.
Allow them to dream as well. Yeah. Don't come in and say, now listen, let's set some reasonable expectations. You know, you're not going to be able to do this. You know, they hang in many cases, although they may not show it, they do hang on every word we say and every facial expression. Mm-hmm. Our young people are watching us the whole time. You need to empower your students to say, your kids to say, you want to do that? Now, listen, we'll support you. There's a lot of work that's involved, but if you want to go for it, let's go. And encourage them to go explore those different things and not do it through social media, because social media turns off the brain and they go into neutral and they're not thinking for themselves.
Yeah. And sometimes start comparing too.
Absolutely.
As parents, sometimes we don't want our kids to be disappointed, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, should I let him try that? He probably won't do well. And then he's going to be disappointed. Let him try and let him, if he falls on his face, that's okay. That's okay. There's life after failure.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. And some things are just stepping stones, you know, too.
Yes.
I think, you know, my son beat himself up so bad because he went to welding school, and then he got home after he graduated from welding school, and he graduated almost the top of his class. And he's like, I don't want to be a welder. He's like, this experience really told me I didn't want to be a welder. And he's like, I've been praying about it and I think I should go to college. And, you know, ending up getting an engineering degree, I was like, this is not, you know, a setback. Cause he was like, I wasted a year. And I was like, no, you didn't. Now you're an engineer who can actually build the stuff you design. There are many that can do that.
Right.
So. Absolutely. I work for Lincoln Electric, which is something that he would be obviously familiar with. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he now has a hands-on understanding of how you join two different pieces of metal together makes it much easier for him to do the engineering calculations. Mm-hmm. When somebody says, you know, well, we want to just join these two things, he can say, well, you can't do it because the, you know, the temperature is not correct. Or, you know, ABC has to be done first. Mm-hmm. And the other kids in the class, the other young students in the class are going to say, what is he talking about? How does he know this?
Exactly. Yeah. Every experience that we give our kids will help them. So, yeah. So talking about experiences, I would love for you to share a story or two of just, you know, how you've seen the empowerment of self-discovery with the students you've worked with, if you have any to share.
Wow. Gosh, we have lots to share. I would say one of our favorite stories is our Albanian student who, almost 20 years ago now, he was new to the States. He left Albania. He became a Christian in Albania, came to the States, and ended up at our kids' school. And both our kids had just left for college. So he was a tennis player. So I helped him get a scholarship, find a tennis scholarship in Tennessee, and he did great, and we went through this, what we were creating back then for our kids too, for everybody. In its infancy, he went through this process, and he was just thrilled, and he needed a lot of maturing, and plus his, I always say he could write a book, because the coming over here when you're like 15 years old.
By yourself.
Not speaking English, moving to the South, which is a whole different language.
Yes.
So, but he succeeded now, and now he's in Miami. He's married, has a baby, and he is one of the top, what was it?
Top 20 under 40 in the city of Miami is what he was just recognized with a couple of years ago.
And his nephew, who just came over from Albania, he went through our program also.
20 years later.
Just now a freshman in college. And and it really helped him a lot. And he's had some tough times too with family issues and things. So it was just so great to have a second generational person coming through and surviving. And William is now in school in Florida, and he's not a Christian yet, but we're praying for him.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But like both of them, there are many others that have been impacted. And it really is satisfying for us to be able to take the scar tissue of life that we have and be able to invest it in these young people so that they can possibly avoid, as I say, listen, you can do it this way, but it's going to leave a mark. Mm-hmm. You probably don't want to do that. You know, you may want to use my scar tissue and do it a different way, but, you know, knock yourself out if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the skills and some of the abilities that we've been able to put into this program that's all online. It's all in 2.5-minute videos, and that a student can accomplish with work. It takes them 12 hours to get through it, but they're going to have the deliverables that I mentioned earlier.
And it's not 12 hours at one sitting.
Right. Yeah. It's self-paced, right?
Right.
Yes, it's all self-paced.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about it a little bit? I'm going to bring up your website so that people who are watching can see that. But if you're listening on the podcast, it's collegeflightplan.com, all small. Letters.
Right. It's basically it's a three-phase process that takes you through a discovery process where we talk about the values, the 360, the Colby assessment, your distinct natural ability, your purpose statement, your aspirational goals. Mm-hmm. You then have all that discovery. Then you say, okay, what am I going to determine as a result of that? And that's when you figure out your 5-year and 1-year goals. You determine the daily actions in your core majors. And so now that's the determined phase that's now complete. And then how do you direct all that finding by developing a growth mindset, which is something that we haven't really talked that much about, but it's extremely important to develop a growth mindset so that you are able to then implement that with your elevator speech, your summary document that you present to your parents, and your college application essays.
That's awesome.
How about the three rings of success, too?
Oh, the three rings.
That's a great part.
Yeah, the three rings of success is, you know, how you add value to others. Responsibility is what you take. Responsibility is what, accountability is what you give back. Reliability is what you gain from that. And the apex of those three rings is called referability.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. So, if you want to check out this program, this college flight plan that Greg and Beth have created. It sounds like it's just been a labor of love for the two of you for a long time. And you're so passionate about it. So it's been exciting to just to hear what you've had to share tonight. And
we love seeing the results. It's very rewarding.
That's so cool. And so I can only imagine that, you know, these videos are just filled with such passionate advice to these young people that take your program. And that's why they come out so inspired, because of the passion that you two have. So so that's so cool. Definitely check out their website at collegeflightplan.com and see what they have to share. And I saw on the wrap up that you shared with me that there's a parent starter kit to teen self-discovery.
That's correct.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, I know some of your listeners or many of your listeners are saying, okay, this all sounds great. Now what? You know, what are my top 5 actions? What are some of these statistics that you shared? I mean, because they're kind of, you know, big numbers that involve a lot of money, share those with me. We include those, some pre-assessments that we recommend, some ACT, SAT prep resources as well, some scholarship resources, as well as how to get in touch with us. And they can get all that information at collegeflightplan.com/guide. collegeflightplan.com/guide.
Or you can just email me at Beth@collegeflightplan.com or Greg
at collegeflightplan.com. That's correct.
And I'll make sure to put all those links in the YouTube feed so that if you were to come back tomorrow, you'll find them all there, and I will have that all updated for you. So that's great. Well, thank you so much, both of you. This has been a joy just chatting about this subject, and definitely, like I said, it is the precursor to everything we've been talking about basically this month. And so it's kind of a good way to wrap up, because I think a lot of times when we start talking about internships and all those things, parents kind of, you know, their heads just go, well, where, how do we figure out what we're going to do? And so you just gave the answer.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
It's really been our pleasure.
Yeah. And we have some viewers saying thank you too. So
thank you all.
Been my pleasure interviewing you. And this wraps up our month talking about launching well with teens. Next month, we're going to start focusing on, because a big question we always get from homeschool parents is, how do I teach multiple kids at the same time when they're different ages and different learning levels? Well, we're going to talk about that. We've got a lot of experts coming up that are going to share some great ideas with you on how to make that possible. It is possible. I actually taught 6 kids all the way from age 2 to 14 at one point. So it's doable.
You're my hero.
Just a little crazy. But so next week we're going to talk about experiential learning with a homeschool mom who's taught her her 9-year-old and her son, who just graduated with that age gap all the way through. And they both have learning differences. So she has a lot of experience to share with us. And so you'll definitely want to come back next Tuesday night for that. But make sure you check out our website at spedhomeschool.com. We have podcasts of interviews like this one, and almost 3 years in the running now. I think we have 167 podcasts now. So this will be 168. But we are also the number one rated special needs homeschooling blog. And we also have a brand new website with courses and webinars that you can take from experts on how to homeschool high school with your struggling learners. So all of those things are available. And that's a separate website. It's called empoweredhomeschool.org. So you can check out that. And our partners are going to be adding more courses on there soon. So that's becoming a marketplace. But this broadcast was made possible by donors like you. So make sure you check out our website too at spedhomeschool.com/donate, where you can contribute to our nonprofit work in helping empower parents to homeschool children with special educational needs. So thanks again, Greg and Beth, and thank you all for joining us. And we will see you again next week, right here, same time, same place. So, bye, everyone.
Thanks, Peggy.
Bye.
Yeah, definitely. Bye.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. God invites us to cultivate thankful hearts by turning our eyes toward Him. In good times and bad. To listen to more Abide Christian Meditations, just go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Christian Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.